Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Morgan Klein, full-time mom, personal trainer, co-founder, and COO of Burn Bootcamp. I'm here to bring you a strong dose of hot topics such as nutrition, fitness, self-help, style, entrepreneurship, motherhood, and so much more. I strive to inspire you to live your life with greater balance, vitality, and empowerment. So grab a mug and join me for a cup of coffee and kettlebells. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Coffee and Kettlebells. Today, I'm on the podcast solo, bringing you the topic, locking horns with your toddler, and why you've got to let them win some. You've got to, you know, keep your sanity and let them win some. So listen, I'm going to be the first to tell you that just because I'm a podcast host does not make me an expert on every topic that I discuss, but I am so committed to being a lifelong learner and observer and learning from, you know, my past experiences and really every aspect of my life. And so I started this podcast to obviously bring you some of those learnings directly to this podcast. And so you guys can hopefully take away some things and apply it to your life. But, you know, sometimes these podcasts, especially the solo ones, they are things that I'm going through that I'm challenged with. And I think it's best to just give myself a little pep talk. And so today I'm, pressing record, giving myself that same pep talk because I'm going through this right now as we speak. With little toddlers at home. Pep talks are great. They're powerful. You know, they give us that purpose again. They remind us of our why. They harness the motivation that we have to do what we do. And pep talks are important, whether it's one that you give yourself or one that you listen to that others are giving to you. Today, I'm sharing some truths that I've learned through parenting. And, you know, I fall back on these truths often. It's something that I've learned just in my short 4 years of being a parent. So I know I still have a lot to learn. And hopefully this is something that is universal and you can apply to, you know, the teenage years and the tween years. I mean, I certainly have a lot to learn and a lot to face ahead of me, but I really hope that you can take these away and apply them to your life. So let's jump right in with my four parenting truths. So if you're familiar with my family, you know that Devin and I, we have two children and we have a number three on the way. So our daughter Cameron is about to turn four and our son Max just turned two in December. And, you know, as excited as we are to grow our family, we have so much love to give. I would be lying if I said I wasn't extremely nervous and a little bit scared about having three children, four and under. And, you know, you guys know me as the co-founder and COO of Burn Bootcamp, but I am also the COO of our household. And there is a lot of moving parts, you know, with Devin and I both working full time and two small kids and a house to manage and two dogs and doctor's appointments and school and this and that and this. I am so involved and I take pride in it. But that also means a really busy and chaotic life, which I know so many of you can relate to. But in all seriousness, Devin and I, when we started this parenting journey, you know, we talked about what we want in our kids, and we want them to show strength, resilience. We want them to have the ability to stand up and speak out and have a voice. And those are all things that I want every child to have, you know, as they grow up. But the flip side of that is it can be super frustrating when you're on the receiving end. You know, if you have a strong-willed child, like they don't back down, right? But you have to, you know, you have to take a step back and say, okay, well, she has two parents. This is Cam in particular, you guys. She's 4 years old or about to be four, and she is so strong-willed. Like, the girl knows what she wants when she wants it, and she is the world's best negotiator. I get frustrated sometimes and I feel defeated, but then I think about, okay, well, who are her parents? She has two parents that, you know, we say what we mean, you know, we do what we say we're going to do. We don't give up. We lean into what we believe. They are a front row ticket holders to this mission that we're on. And it's a big one. And so I can't expect that Cameron's not going to emulate that. And Max isn't going to emulate that. So, you know, as much as it makes me proud, it can still be challenging when you've had a long day and you come home and you have to negotiate with a little toddler about what time bedtime's going to be. With that being said, you know, I have kind of figured out when to let them win and maybe how to reframe things so they have options. And, you know, at the end of the day, it can feel exhausting, but you have to understand what is worth the battle. So, you know, in all seriousness, you hear me say, you know, in this introduction on the podcast, I'm a full-time mom. And I list that first because I am so proud of it. It's the title that I hold the closest and that I have the most, you know, passion for. So the love that we feel for our children, it's overwhelming. So it's not difficult to understand how many of us can be overwhelmed when it comes to parenting. And I hate to say tips because I don't know if they're necessarily tips. I think they're just truths, right? And they're just things that we need to either accept and realize. It's not necessarily like tips on this is exactly going to solve your problem. So I just want you to know that going into this podcast is that this is not like a solution to every problem, but it's a truth that can help you navigate some of those challenging times. So my first truth is sometimes you just need to let them win. And when I say this, I'm not saying abandon your rules and throw in the towel because it's important to stand your ground. But I've found the best way of letting kids win some is making them have choices, right? So making everything choices that I can live with, that's an important factor there. Don't give them a choice that you don't want them to choose. So here's an example. It's snack time and, you know, I'm quickly slicing up some apples or watermelon or grapes. And I set it in front of Cam and Max and I hear, no, I want veggie straws or I want bunny grams. Those are like their favorite little snacks that aren't really that healthy, right? And right now, Cameron, like the tears will just be automatic, right? Automatic if she does not get what she wants. She stomps her foot and, you know, we can go back and forth day, you know, minute after minute and she will not back down. And so for me, this is like, is this really worth it? Okay, how about I give them a couple options? So, hey guys, like let's do grapes or let's do applesauce and then we can have some veggie straws. So it's like giving them those choices and not saying you have to do this and you have to do it this way. Giving them the choices, I think, empowers children and that's like literally all they want. They want to be the one that makes that decision. So giving them options, giving them choices, letting them choose is just a win-win for both. But obviously make sure it's choices that you're okay with because if you're not and they choose it, then you're right back to square one. So instead of, you know, setting their dinner up and saying, you're going to eat this, give them some choices, help them build that dinner, help them build what you want. And this can really be applied in anything. It doesn't have to be just food, but giving them the choices and then they have the ultimate power and they feel good about the decision that they're making. And then that way you can see it executed, right? You can see it through and say, this is what you chose. So this is what you're going to eat. My next truth is set clear limits and boundaries on the things you know don't bring out the best in your children. So this one is true for a lot of things, but screen time is an area that stands out for me. And listen, I get it. I have deadlines. I have calls that I have to take from home. Maybe it's you're in the first trimester of your pregnancy for your second or third child and you're freaking exhausted. And screen time is the only time that you're going to get where your child's not asking you 1,500 questions and wanting to play a game and you just need to sit down and relax and take it all in. Like those are all very real things that happen. They've happened to me. I think my daughter got introduced to Mickey Mouse Clubhouse when I was pregnant with Max because I have terrible first trimesters. And I mean, it could be worse for sure, but it's exhaustion. It's the nausea constantly. And I've always had a traveling husband. So there's definitely times where I can't lean on him and I'm like, I don't have family in town and it's the weekends and I'm just tired and I want to lay down and guess what comes on? Mickey Mouse Clubhouse or maybe it's the iPad. So I am super guilty of screen time, but I also know it does not bring out the best in my kids. So I want you to know, I'm not saying like, I'm not anti-screen time. Listen, I know that you're not supposed to do it till they're two. I know that there should be like an hour a day. I don't always follow all those rules because I need to get through certain things. And so it doesn't make me feel the best, but it is what it is. And I don't want to guilt anybody that is using screen time. I have relied on TV as a temporary distraction. And, you know, there's a direct correlation between that and challenging behavior. And I totally see it. Maybe you're not seeing it at first, but now I absolutely see if Cameron is using too much electronics or really that's it, too much, then and I take it away from her, her attitude, her mood, her behavior is awful. So I have learned to create some boundaries around that and really get creative in some of the things that we do at home. And it's definitely helpful, I will say as a disclaimer, It's definitely helpful that I have Max. He's 2 years old now. They are starting to play a lot more together than they ever did before because he was just simply too young. They're starting to play together. They're starting to talk to each other. And so thankfully, like they can entertain themselves. But I know not everybody's in that situation where they have multiple kids or their ages are maybe not at that time where they're playing together. But get creative with different activities that they can do that don't necessarily involve screen time. There are still some electronic toys out there that are like educational where they can pick out different fruit or different veggies, and it's interactive and it makes noises and it makes sounds. So I think that for me, it's just about understanding the balance, understanding the boundaries, and really identifying what brings out the worst behavior in our kids and create the boundaries around that. Maybe it's not screen time for yours. Maybe it's the food that they eat, or maybe it's sleep. Maybe it's sleep and you need to really create a new routine and new boundaries around sleep to make sure that they are, you're setting them up for the most success during the day. So before I move on, the biggest thing that's helped us create those boundaries is setting time limits. So whether that's literally like a timer that goes off when screen time's over, or just knowing in your head and kind of, here's what I've found. If I just take it away and say, you're done, we get total meltdown. But if I say, Cameron, you have 5 more minutes. Cameron, you have 3 more minutes. Cameron, you have 1 more minute. And like kind of guide her through that countdown. She's prepared and she knows that it's going to be taken away in X amount of time. Now, that has backfired on me, guys. She will negotiate till the day that she gets what she wants. So I'll say 1 more minute and she'll be like, Mommy, I got to ask you something. Can I have 5 more minutes? And she says it in the sweetest way, but I'll say, no, Cameron, you can have 5 more minutes. You have 1 more minute. She'll be like, okay, what about 3 more minutes? Like, she has learned now how to go back and forth, and God bless her. Those tools are going to help her one time in her life at a later time. But for sure, it's about like just creating those boundaries. So for me, it's a timer. And same on junk food, like limit what it is and how are we balancing it with the healthy food. I try not to put foods in like good and bad buckets, but I certainly want to educate my kids on what's healthy and what's not so healthy, giving them the opportunity to make choices based on the balance that I want them to have in their life. So creating those boundaries, that is my second truth. Next one, this is my favorite because it truly brings our family so much joy. Set aside individual specific times to let your children be in the driver's seat. So we live busy lives, we all do. And sometimes I think we glorify busy and we forget how important unstructured time is, especially for our children. When we get that amazing, precious time with our kids, it's easy to tell them that we're going to go do something together, but this isn't necessarily a bad thing. When we get that amazing, precious quality time with our kids where we don't have a bunch of other stuff on our plate, it's easy to go make the plans and tell them what we're doing. And this isn't necessarily a bad thing, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with saying, it's a beautiful day, let's go to the park. But this goes back to my first truth of those choices, right? So choices that we can give our kids. So carve out that time. Even if all you have is 10 to 20 minutes a day, let your children guide playtime. Ask them what they want to do, right? So label it so it's something that you can look forward together. So for example, you say, what should we do for our special time together? Should we go get our nails done, or should we go X, Y, and Z? It doesn't always have to be nails done, but that's just one thing that comes to mind. It can obviously be something that you guys do in the home. So label that time that you're going to set aside for your children, and then truly allow them to choose what to do, because it's just going to mean so much to them that you're present, that you're there. You need to really immerse yourself into the games that they want to play. Let them be creative. Don't be distracted. Put the phone away. Let your children be in control of what you guys are doing. Again, with boundaries, obviously, in a safe way. And that's why when you give them choices, goes back to my first truth. When you give them choices, make sure you're okay with those choices. But listen, guys, like forget the pictures, forget the video, forget the IG stories. Just be present. Cameron has started to tell me, Mommy, put your phone down. And that's where my reality check goes back in to say like, oh. And even if I was just taking a picture of her, she'll still be like, Mommy, put your phone down. They just want us to be present. They just want us to be fully all in, no distractions. And guys, even if it's 20 minutes to them, that can feel like 2 hours. So that would be my next truth, is really to just give them that time, whether it's daily, whether it's weekly. You know, you have to decide what works best for your schedule, but I promise that that small investment can make a lifelong impact. And guys, my last truth is, you know, one that's sometimes easier said than done, but keep your cool. Take a deep breath, gather yourself, and stay calm. I'm sure we can all think of times where, you know, we haven't done that, but our kids, they're always watching, they're always learning. Guys, I have to remind myself of this a little bit too often that I'm a little ashamed to even admit, but raising my voice and demanding a specific outcome from our children, it's not far from having a full-blown meltdown that we don't like when they have, or a tantrum, right? So how are we setting the standard? How are we setting the example? Because they are absolutely going to emulate us. And when I communicate clearly and calmly with Cam and Max and don't react to whatever they're doing, I can absolutely feel a sense of calmness in them. But if I react with yelling or I'm mad, like, it actually upsets my daughter. More so, I always go back to Cameron, but you guys have to remember she's the older one. I know this will affect Max as well. You know, I get down to her level. I talk to her if I can tell that she's getting emotional and sensitive or about to have a meltdown. It's really just about meeting them where they are, because there's so many emotions going on. And if we're combating that with our own emotions, it does not solve the problem, right? So get down on their level, be calm, take a deep breath. Even if that means you have to walk out of the room for a minute and just let her cry for a minute, let him cry for a minute, and then take your moment and then walk back in and just communicate calmly. Don't react to them, because that's what they're looking for sometimes. They're looking for that reaction. They're looking for you to let down. And so they know how to play us, right? But I think just keeping your cool is one of the truths that I've learned, still working on, of course. But it's important. It's really important because, like I said, our children are going to learn from us. So how we react to those emotions is how they're going to learn how to react. And just remembering that they're going through so much, their brain is developing, they're changing, there's a lot of emotions going on, and we need to make sure we acknowledge it, right? We acknowledge it, we name it, we meet them where they're at, we understand, we empathize with them, because that's going to make them feel like they can put their guard down and stop with the bad behavior. So, you know, I think that's one thing that I left it as the last one, because I think it's one that I always have an opportunity to get better at, but it is what it is. And each day is a little bit different. And sometimes the stress of life and the stress of work can get the best of you. And just don't let yourself take it out on your kids, because at the end of the day, they're trying their best too. And keeping stern, keeping your boundaries in your home, but making sure that you're also being flexible with that, because otherwise, they're going to pick up on that frustration, and that's how they're going to react to you. So guys, let me just say thank you for the opportunity to share one of my many personal pep talks with you today. I know that we often see people making it look so easy. That's the demise of social media there, but it's not always easy, and it's not supposed to be, right? If it were easy, I mean, would it be any fun? Right? Who doesn't love a challenge? But it is incredibly rewarding and fulfilling. So give yourself pep talks often. Borrow mine whenever you need it. I hope that my truths help you stop locking horns and start unlocking more quality time and meaningful communication with your children. And with all that said, and everything that Devin and I have accomplished together, we know that the absolute greatest legacy is our children. I will never stop saying that. And that's what I do. That's why I do what I do every single day. And the same goes for each and every one of you. So let me just leave you with this. Be calm, be consistent, and be confident in your parenting and in the knowledge that you have, that you know what your family needs, and you know the best interest because you have that at heart. And so be confident in that, right? Believe in yourself. You are a mother for a reason. You are a father for a reason to those children. Don't let the low days get you down, and just be consistent, right? Be consistent, be there for our kids, be there for one another, right? And I, like I said, I just really hope these truths have helped you. I appreciate you guys, as always, for listening. If you're not following me on Instagram, head over there. I like to share a lot about my kids and my pregnancy, morgan.a.klein. Also, I'm on Facebook under Morgan Klein. And if Coffee and Kettlebells has made a positive impact in your life in any way, I would just be so appreciative if you took a few seconds out of your time to leave me a rating and review. Thank you so much for joining me for another cup of Coffee and Kettlebells. Thank you so much for sipping on a cup of Coffee and Kettlebells with me today. To find a recap of today's show, be sure to check out the Burn Bootcamp blog. To get your daily dose, be sure to like our Facebook page at Coffee and Kettlebells. And follow me on Instagram at morgan.a.klein. If you have any questions you'd like answered at the end of my next podcast or have any suggestions for guests that you'd like to see featured on the show, please reach out to me at coffeeandkettlebells@burnbootcamp.com. If you love this episode of the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. Please subscribe, rate, and leave a review on the iTunes store and be sure to share with your friends. Thanks again, and I hope you join me next time for a refill of Coffee and Kettlebells.